Let us turn again to the passage that we read together in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15. Let us consider verse 25, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Matthew 15 at verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." How appropriate for a sinner, whatever one's needs might be. And it is good to remember, even when everything seems to be all right, that we should be asking the Lord for help. There was something very significant in the woman's life, which meant that she felt her need of help. She speaks of her daughter being grievously vexed with a devil. Devils seem to have been allowed to do a lot that, generally speaking, God does not give them permission to do. There was a huge amount, evidently, of devil possession when the Savior was in this world. Satan was trying to show how strong he was. Well did he know why the Son of God had taken human nature and it came into this world. And the devil is trying to do all in a supernatural way that would indicate that God is not the only power in the universe. Well, that is so, but God is the power for good. Satan and and the other fallen angels, they are a power for evil. We're not to be deceived by those who are doing Satan's work for him, whoever they may be. Peter himself, not that he was devil-possessed at any stage, but he was doing Satan's work for him when he was trying to dissuade the Savior from going to the cross. But the Savior said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And it was addressed to Satan, and Satan was using Peter. But Peter would have understood, and the devil was rebuked. And when the devil is rebuked, then he must stop what he is doing. And who knows what the Savior is doing today as the one on the throne, the throne that really matters. Who knows what is being done for the protection of people in this world by the Savior rebuking him and preventing him from doing more harm than he actually does. Well, here was this woman. She wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't one of God's chosen people, after the flesh, that is. She was clearly one of God's chosen people, speaking spiritually. She came to the Savior. Her daughter, he was possessed by a devil and was being badly treated as a result. And that was disturbing her. And to whom could she go to have her daughter put right? To whom could she go so that her daughter would be delivered from this evil power? She came to the one whom she addresses as the Son of David, the one who was, she knew, she fully believed, he was the Messiah. And she says to him, Lord, help me. She came to the disciples and they found it difficult. It would be beyond their power to put the devil out, at least in that particular occasion. And they, with their lack of understanding and the lack of sympathy even, they were asking the Savior to send it away. They found it difficult. Oh, why did they not go and say to the Savior, Lord, help us? Or even to say to the Savior, Lord, help us. But she felt this as a need. It was a very superficial need as far as these disciples were concerned. This woman's trouble, that was, as far as they were concerned, not something that disturbed them. And that was a great pity, of course. But the woman knew the seriousness of having a daughter in this condition. So she came to the Savior and she said, Lord, help me. She's put off, so to speak, by what the Savior said to her, first of all, when the disciples are so keen that she would be sent away. But she doesn't give up. She goes on with her petition. And that's how it should be with us. Whatever it is that might be troubling us, we should know where to go. We should know to go to the Lord with our trouble, whether it's trouble of soul or trouble in the family or trouble of any kind, anything that may be disturbing us. We're to go to the Lord and we are to say, Lord, help me, or whatever words we feel to be suitable. Lord, help me. And she did, and she was heard. And why are we told this? Oh, to encourage us to do likewise. Go and do likewise. The Savior said to someone who gave him an appropriate answer, as far as it went, go and do likewise. Well, that's what's been said to us here as we listen to these things about the woman who had this brief prayer. Very often when things are critical, when things are particularly difficult, it's a very short prayer that's appropriate. And perhaps we have only a moment, as it were, before we have to give a reply to someone. Someone who has asked us a question, maybe a difficult question, an awkward question. Well, let us ask the Lord to help us. And then let us try to give the answer. Let us say, however quickly, Lord, help me. The Lord hears. The Lord is ever on the alert for the prayers of people in this world. We don't need, in a sense, it's used as a picture, certainly, but we don't need, in another sense, to go and knock on the Lord's door, so to speak, for a long time before he is going to pay attention to us. And even when we seem not to get an answer very quickly, still, it's not because he has not heard us. Whatever the answer will be, just like the Savior didn't answer this woman immediately, he kept her waiting. But her daughter was healed. Her prayer was heard. Oh, how good it would be, far oftener than we do, to be saying something like this, Lord, help me. for ordinary things, but especially for our souls. Lord, help me. Are you feeling some spiritual difficulty this evening? Are you feeling your need as a sinner? Well, go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me for Jesus' sake. I've quoted already today that wonderful prayer. It's a bit longer than the prayer the woman used here, but it's still short. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How suitable, whatever it is. Again, I say it. If it's your soul that is concerning you, there's another petition to send up. Yes, you can enlarge on it. God, be merciful to me in connection with the guilt of my sin, in connection with the power of sin over my soul, in connection with my unbelief. And so you can go on. Of course you can go on. But here is something that is always appropriate. Lord, help me. We will try to make three main points this evening. The Lord may be pleased to help us. First of all, to say something about human need. And then to point, secondly, to the one who can help. You see, there was no great help in going to the disciples. Oh, yes. There was another time to come. There was the time when the 70 disciples came back to the Savior and they were rejoicing to say, Lord, even the devils are made subject to thy name. But, you see, while we might go to other people to ask, ask questions about our soul, ask questions about our need. Go to other people to get help in one way or another. Oh, let us not forget to go to the Lord and ask him to help us. So this woman knew who to go to. She knew to go to Christ as the one who can help in time of trouble. And then in the third place, we will take this woman as an example of believing prayer. It will not ignore her as we try to make the first two points, but we will try to think more particularly about the woman and her situation and the answer she got when we come to the third point. Lord, help me. First, is something about human need. Then, secondly, is something about the one who can help. And then, thirdly, this woman as an example of believing prayer. There she was. She came to the Savior. She asked, Lord, help me. And she was heard. We don't know her name, just that she belonged to the area of Tyre and Sidon. She wasn't an Israelite, but she's in heaven. And the people of God will no doubt meet her yet among the vast number they will at last be who it came to the Lord with a prayer like this for their souls. Lord, help me. They were heard. These people were unable to look to Christ Jesus. And when they die, they will be brought to heaven at last. Well, something about human need. Yes. Well, in her case, it was this. My daughter is grievously vexed with her devil. And we should be very conscious of the damage that Satan is doing as he goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to ignore any of us. He comes to tempt, whether he fully accepts that he cannot bring down any of the Lord's people, any of those who have believed, whether he really accepts that he is unable to pluck them out of the Savior's hand, who knows? He certainly hasn't succeeded with any of them yet. He has done them damage for the time, but he has never plucked them out of the Savior's hand, and he never will. But he'll do what he can, whatever. He will do what he can to dishonor God by his temptations. He didn't pluck Peter out of the Savior's hand, but he did damage to Peter's soul. How troubled Peter was when the Savior looked at him. He knew he had sinned. Oh, what a difference it would have made for Peter when he was being tempted to deny his master, and the evil one trying to sift him as wheat, trying to pluck him out of the Savior's hand. And what a difference it would have made if Peter had remembered the words of this woman and realized how applicable they were to the situation and said, "Lord, help me." Oh, that would be to give away his allegiance to Christ if he had spoken out loud. That would have been no bad thing. But even if he had said it quietly, even if he had said it only in his soul, and there's times when that's appropriate. Yes. "Lord, help me, because I'm in need, because the devil is going about seeking to pluck me out of the Savior's hand. Keep me." Yes, that's what we might say. Yes. And the devil is trying to bring people further and further into sin, and trying to bring the Lord's people into a course of sin. And you see, if I refer first of all to what the Savior said about the devil, that he could find nothing in him, Satan could find nothing in the Savior to hang his temptations on. He couldn't get a grip. He couldn't get a grip. Yes. You might, well, you know what it is to try to walk on a patch of ice, and you can't get a grip. There's nothing to hold your feet from slipping. Normally there is. There's the friction between your footwear and the road or whatever. But you see, there was nothing that the evil one could get a grip of when he came to the Savior. There was always a ready answer. He knew with that great wisdom that was his, he could answer the evil one altogether appropriately. The Savior, there was nothing in him that Satan could get a hold of and latch his temptations onto. But you see, there is an as, and the Savior refers to that when he says at verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. That's what's wrong with us. We have an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. There's something that Satan can get a grip of. He can latch his temptations onto our hearts because there's evil in them. There's a principle of sin there, reigning in the hearts of those who are not the Lord's children. And still, a powerful feature of those who are the Lord's children. Yes. Oh, what need to be saying in all sorts of situations. Lord, help me. Supposing you are stopped in the street for some reason. You don't know what the person is going to say. Well, can you not ask? And it applies to all sorts of situations. Lord, help me. I may not know what to say. I may not know how to react. I may react badly. This is my need, and I'm a sinner. Lord, help me, though, because of my need and because of that evil heart of unbelief, which is inclined to depart from the living God. And that's what will happen to God's children themselves if they are not kept. Yes. And we might think of human need in this way, as the Savior said to the Jews at verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They were going through the prescribed ritual. They were coming with their sacrifices. They were making their prayers at the appointed times. They thought they were doing very well. But, oh, how fearful the condemnation. In vain do they worship me. In vain. Oh, is that what the Lord is saying about our worship, about our religious observance? They're worshiping me in vain. Why? Because that heart is far from me. They're going through the outward form. Oh, may the Lord give us to a more than the outward form. The Lord's people themselves, they're drawing near to God with their heart. It may be defective, and many an occasion it is. It's not always so. Not always. They do draw near with their hearts. Their faith could be stronger, their prayers could be more earnest, they could be more persevering, and so I could go on. But, you see, they're not entirely hypocrites. I might have mentioned it before. Someone came into the church here many years ago. Saying what one assumes she was feeling. We're all hypocrites anyway. And it was addressed to Murdoch Campbell, who was an elder here at that time, and he says, we're not all hypocrites, but there's hypocrisy in us. Yes. And that's another reason for even the people of God to be so often saying, even with regard to public worship, coming to the door of the church, and feeling it might be hypocrisy. Lord, help, help because of this great need of my soul. And whatever it is, whatever the stage in the service, it's almost over. You might have got, you believe, spiritual good. You've been focused on what was being said. But the service is not over yet. And you are still weak, and there's still hypocrisy in you. And the devil is still going about, seeking to devour. You still need to say, Lord, help me. Help me so that I wouldn't wander now, so that I wouldn't lose my focus on the things that belong to my peace. Lord, help me. Yes. And you see, whatever our need is, and we're applying this particularly to spiritual things, but we might learn from what we are told at verse 30, that great multitudes came to Jesus, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And whatever it was that was wrong with them, they were healed. It didn't matter what was wrong with them. Jesus was able to help them, just as he helped this woman. And whatever spiritual disease we could think of, whatever aspect of the one spiritual disease we might think of, whether it's that we're lame and not able to walk properly, or that it's dumb and we cannot pray properly, if we can pray at all, and whether it's blind, that we cannot look to Christ, or we're not looking to Christ as strongly and trustingly as we should. Oh, let us go to the Savior. That's our need, you see. And here is one who can help us. Whatever it is we feel is wrong, we're not to be trying to put ourselves right. Yes, we're to use the various means that are set before us, but we're to say, Lord, help me. It's thyself that can help me. I cannot put myself right. We're to make that confession, such is the degree of human need. But let us go on to speak more particularly of the one who can help. You'll notice that she addressed the Savior. It's in verse 22. O Lord, thou son of David. O Lord. She seems to be taking the Savior as divine. How few there were among his own people, the people of Israel, how few there were who were taking the Savior as divine, in spite of all the miracles that he performed. But she says, Lord, and then she says, thou son of David. What does she mean? Well, when the Savior was asking a group of Jews about the Christ, what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? The answer was, the son of David. They knew something of the Old Testament. They knew the prophecy about the Savior coming of the seed of David. You can find it in 2 Samuel 7. I'm not going to try to expound it just now any further than just to say what the understanding was, and it was a correct understanding that the people of Christ, of the Savior's generation, had. She's addressing him as the Messiah. She's addressing Jesus as the one who was to come in the fullness of time. The one who was to come as a Savior from sin. Yes. And whatever trouble it was that was affecting it, she was coming to him as the only one who could do her good. She cried to him because of her trouble. Oh, he was one who could save to the uttermost. He was one who could help her, whatever her need was. She knew that. So she sets her case before him. And whatever our situation might be, we are to come to Christ. Or we are to come to God through Christ. We can look at it either way, for the supply of our needs, and especially for the supply of our spiritual needs. And we can think of coming to Christ on the basis of the revelation that has been given to us in Scripture. And these particular words in 1 John chapter 3, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There's something there that should give us hope. Are you concerned about your soul? Are you wanting your sins to be forgiven? What is it that is troubling you? Or is it your family? Is it some relation? Is it some spiritual difficulty that you have that you cannot recognize grace in your soul anymore? Well, here is one who can help. Here is one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God through him. Yes, and he is there on the throne of glory, and he is making continual intercession. When we say, Lord, help me, addressing the Lord Jesus, he is able to take that petition and to bring it before the Father, and to bring it before the Father on the basis of the work that he did in this world. And he is taking that person's petition and turning it into a request as from himself. Are we not to believe that that is what took place when the woman said, Lord, help me? And the Savior, did he put it in some terms like this? I will that this woman be helped. I will that the devil be put out of her daughter. On the basis of what he had come into the world to do. And perhaps you are thinking of someone in particular whose soul you are very much concerned about. And you say, Lord, help me. Lord, help him. Lord, help her. And you say, for Christ's sake. And the Savior takes your petition, and he brings it before the Father on the basis of what he has done for sinners. And he says something to this effect, though perhaps we're not to think of putting it into words altogether. But it helps us to understand, I'm sure, if we put it into words. And I'm taking my pattern from John 17, the intercessory prayer of Christ, Christ speaking to the Father on behalf of his people. Well, the Savior is going on, making intercession for his people, and making petition that this person's prayer will be answered. And he does so because he is one who is able to help. He is able. If we are to believe that, and whatever may be troubling you this evening, you are to believe that the Savior is able to help. When we read the word help, as we have it here, then we are not to think of the Savior giving a little assistance. You might think of somebody who is disabled and he has a house to build. He needs a roof over his head. And he asks someone to build, to help. I need help, he says. I need this house. And I've come, it might be by phone or email or whatever it might be these days. He asks for help. But the situation should be obvious. It's something more than help that is needed, although it's the word is used. And this woman is using the word. You have the Lord using the word. In me is thine help. And it's not as if the disabled man could give a bit of help, lifting sheets of plasterboard or whatever it might be and nailing them in. He needs to have everything done for him. Well, that's the way we're to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help. He is able to do it all. It's not that he lends us a bit of assistance, but that he does it all. Oh, how encouraged we should be to ask, Lord, help me. This woman didn't come to the Lord expecting that between them, between herself and the Lord, she would get the devil out of her daughter. She needed the Lord to do it for her. And that's how it is. Whatever spiritual state we might be in, whatever particular difficulty we might be in, we are to say to the Lord, help me, and meaning that he would do it for us. Not that we, in connection with our souls at any rate, are to lie back and say, I need do nothing. But where will the effect come from? When we make use of the means of grace, when we read, when we try to pray, it's not for our reading, it's not for the sake of our prayers, though we are to pray, most certainly we are. These will not bring about our deliverance. It's that the Lord would do it. Yes, it's that the Lord would do it. That's what we should have in mind. Yes, and on this basis, that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. There's hope in a lost world. Are you giving up hope when you see evil so prevalent? One vile idea being propagated after another. Are you tempted to give up hope? Are you tempted to say things are getting worse and they're just going to get worse? Oh, rather, stop. Stop just for a moment and say, Lord, help. Lord, do this great work thyself. Why did Christ come into this world? Why was the Son of God manifested in this world? It was so that he might destroy the works of the devil. So that he might take to do with Satan. And it rolled back the power of Satan. And in many a generation, it seems, and in this generation, it seems, that there is no rolling back, that Satan and his kingdom are making successive advances. And in a sense, that is no doubt so. But time and again, the Lord stretches out his hand to help the church, to rescue souls from the power of the evil one, to put back, to turn back the works of the devil in connection with a particular sinner, and to bring that sinner into his kingdom. What's the Lord doing? He is working. He is showing his power. He is helping his cause in this world. He is helping his kingdom. He is advancing his kingdom, even in spite of all that seems to be going the other way. And in a sense, no doubt, it is. But we're never to give up because of this one who is able to help. He is ruling, so he is able to help. He is making intercession, so he is able to help. He is able to teach, and what a help that is. Lord, help me. I do not understand this. I do not understand that. Perhaps you're near to despairing about these things, but do not forget the one who is able to help. And be asking him, and keep asking him, hey, Lord, help me in my ignorance, help me in my difficulties. Yes. And you have it in Hosea 13, when the Lord says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. O sinner, thou hast destroyed thyself. Is that all that he's going to say? But in me is thine help. That's how he goes on. And oh, do you react in answer to that and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Oh, that the Lord would impress our souls with a sense of need. But we're not to stop there. We're to go on and say, Lord, help. That's how needy I am. Lord, help. Do not leave me to go down to destruction. I have destroyed myself. I've destroyed my eternal prospects. Yes. But you're to be encouraged by this thought that there is one who is able to help. And you're to come to him. And you are to say, Lord, help me. Yes, all power, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But it's he that has the power. The disciples were to go out. We are to pray. The children of God are to pray for others. And say, Lord, help. You might say that prayers have no power. Well, here is the one who has power, and here is the one who has power to answer prayer. That's what we have. Oh, let us remember this, that here is one who has power to save. Here is one who is calling sinners to himself. He is saying, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And say in response, Lord, help me. I cannot believe. I have a hard heart. I haven't the capacity to submit to thee. But don't stop there. Say, Lord, help me. Yes, he is able. Let us remember that he is the one who is able to help. He is the one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come to save them to the uttermost that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Yes. Well, in the third place, let us look at some further details of this example of believing prayer. She said, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me was what she also said. You have that at verse 22. It wasn't that she was demanding anything. She had no right to demand. It's in his kindness that the Lord answers prayer. We cannot force him to answer our prayers, but We are to pray, and we are to pray looking for mercy, looking for help in our time of need, looking for help when we are weak and we have no right to anything. But it's God's kindness. It's in God's kindness that he answers prayer, and especially prayer for our souls. And did the Savior here answer the prayer at once? Well, he didn't. He may not answer our prayer immediately, but we're not to give up. We're not to go away. That would be quite improper. When we say, Lord, help me, he may not help immediately. Just as when this woman said, Lord, help me, the Savior did not answer her at once. And though, for all that, we have it in Psalm 5, about looking up, expecting an answer. We're to believe that the Lord is able to help us. But the way that he will help us and the time that he will help us, we must be content to leave that to the Lord's sovereignty. Yes, he has authority. Well, see how he spoke to this woman. It was bad enough, surely, for the disciples to say, send her away, for she crieth after us. But when the Savior does no more than give her this answer, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was how it was at that time. He had come to save sinners among the Jews, but he had come to lay a foundation for saving multitudes of Gentiles. At that generation, it was for the Jews alone, basically, not entirely. We're not saying at all that Jews have not been saved and are not being saved today. But, you see, he was speaking the truth, but she can see a way around that. She believes in the power of Christ to heal her daughter, to deliver her from the power of this devil. And she answers wisely. Just to put it in another way, Lord, help me. And when the Savior says, it is not meet, it is not suitable to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs, she, by faith, goes round that statement too. She says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Even if the dogs have not been fed at the table, they'll get a crumb here and a crumb there. And so it was with this woman. She was looking for something. Although she wasn't an Israelite, although she wasn't among the Lord's people after the flesh as it was then, she's she's seeing that there's still hope. It still makes sense for her to say, Lord, help me, and whatever difficulties it may come in our way, we're to go on. We're to come before the Lord with arguments, reverent arguments, scriptural arguments. We're not to be presumptuous in coming before the Lord. We're to be submissive. We're to recognize the authority of God. But still, we're not to give up. And especially as to our souls, we must not give up. Yes, we may be left to seek more earnestly, to pray more earnestly, to recognize further the sin of our hearts, the power of unbelief, and to realize more firmly that it is the Lord himself that can deliver us. Yes, that this is true, that we have destroyed ourselves. But we're not to stop there. This is also true. In me is thine help. We're to say that. We're to bring that before God. That was said, that there is help in thee, and we can come back with this prayer. Lord, help me. And the Savior did not continue his testing offer. The answer was obvious. It was obvious to those around her, surely. Surely the disciples, too, understood what the Savior was pointing to when he said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Her desire is fulfilled and fulfilled completely. Her daughter was made whole at that very moment. Yes. Whatever it is, we are to bring our needs before God. And it may be not so much something specific, but something general, as Jacob went before the Lord, or at least when Jacob met the Lord, coming to him in human nature at the brook, and he wrestled with it. But you see, Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. What was Jacob wanting? Well, we'll not probe that just now. We'll just take it as a general blessing. That's what he wanted. That's one way we are to come before the Lord. Lord, bless me in everything. May I have thy blessing as far as sin is concerned, as far as my soul is concerned, as far as salvation is concerned, as far as everything in this life is concerned. Yes, Lord, bless me. And Jacob got an answer. This woman got an answer. There's the prayer in Psalm 143. I stretch forth mine hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. It caused me to know the way wherein I should go, and even if you cannot say, for in thee do I trust, still say, Lord, help me. You can spell it out in these words of David in Psalm 143. How suitable they are to a sinner seeking salvation. How suitable they are to the believer in spiritual difficulty, or foreseeing the results that might follow from his or her weakness. Yes, Lord, help me. That's it. That's what the woman had. That's how the Savior, that's what the Savior drew out of the woman. Short and so suitable, and how suitable it is to us. And let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a place, of course there's a place for much longer prayers, but there's a place for such petitions as this. And may the Lord, by his grace, help us to ask him for the help that we need in every situation. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Oh, help us thyself. May that be our continual cry. Help us this evening. Help us to derive benefit from thy word. Help us in connection with our souls. O Lord, do not leave us. Give thy blessing. Give grace to help in every time of need. Bless the word. Bless the word to us as we read it ourselves. Bless the word as it is proclaimed. Bless our gatherings for public worship. Bless all who hear thy word. Grant that they would get good for their souls. Remember us, Lord, with that love, that thou bearest unto thine own. Oh, visit us with thy salvation. Be with us now and always, and prepare us especially for eternity. Remember those connected with us. Draw them by thy grace. Grant that the whole earth would be filled with thy glory. Oh, come in particular to those who are in special need. Grant to be working in the hearts of many. Bring down Satan and his kingdom. Set multitudes free. May the word of the truth of the gospel penetrate everywhere. Pardon our sin. Make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.